Welcome to the daily VFN Radio Highlights, where we're keeping the conversation light at VFNTV.com. Enjoy. So many things are being fulfilled so quickly right now. So many things are being fulfilled so quickly now that it's hard to keep up with all of them. Mm-hmm. But one specific thing that we're going to be letting you hear an interview in regards to the Malachi prophecy. And the Malachi prophecy is sometime back, and you'll be hearing more details about it. But we're just going to let you hear a piece of the interview over the next 10 days. We hope for you to be able to hear that. So join us in the extra hour, which will be right after this first hour live, and of course on the loop afterwards. And you got to hear, everything's going to build upon itself. But one specific thing that was stated is that we are in those days where the Malachi prophecy was given, that literally had the number of popes that would be in office. Mm-hmm. And after this last pope, this pope would resign suddenly, which Pope Benedict did over the Catholic Church. And the next one that took his place, I mean, you got to hear that, because it says the city of seven hills, which is Rome, would be destroyed during his reign. And as well as the what's there. And you got to be here. We're going to have that for you in the extra hour today. And stay tuned, because we have 10 different segments we're going to play for you this interview, because it's over a period of time, and we're going to make them available to you as they are, as they broadcast on the VFN Torch, so you don't want to miss it. And you can go to the VFN Torch by going to VFNTV.com and click on the torch. You're going to be shocked. And remember this is very important. When God does what he does, the only thing the devil, who is the father of lies, can say is, nuh-uh, not true, this is crazy. Mm-hmm. I mean, people who are robbing you blind, for example, or just, you know, stealing from you, they're not going to tell you, hey, I'm stealing from you. They're going to look at you and say, when you say, hey, you're robbing me, they're not going to say, oh, you're right, I've robbed you. They're going to say, no, I'm not robbing you. Mm-hmm. And when Noah was building the ark, you think about it, God saw that things were bad, right? Mm-hmm. On people's minds, 24 hours a day was evil. Yeah. By the way, it matters what's on your mind. It'll determine how long this thing's going to go.
Right.
And so he told Noah to be able to build an ark, remember? To build an ark and to preach for 125 years. We don't even live that long, and people are like, oh, I've been, you know, serving God, and it's been a month, bro. It's been a month. You know, it's been 5 years. What's up with you? 120 years, right? He preached, and with no response.
Right. A long time.
He did not change his message. So many people, you know, think because people are not saying yes to God that they need to change what they're saying, so somebody will say yes to them. And so instead of changing your audience, people change their message, and you don't need to do that. You need to realize God just wants people to hear, and he honors their decision. You have to start honoring people's decision, and your heart will be broken because of it, because there's people that say no.
That's right.
They say no, like the rich young ruler who walked away sad because he had a lot of stuff and didn't want to give it up for God because God called it on him. Well, you know, you had Noah building the ark. You had evil on people's minds 124 hours a day, 7 days a week. He preached for 120 days. He had basically just his family helping him out in the ministry. You know, his sons and their wives and his wife. That was it. And they stood and did what God said. It had never rained before that. So it was about to rain. So they're talking about something they'd never seen before. And this boat was going to float in the context of that. And with that, the angels of God, remember, came and slept with the daughters of men.
Yeah.
And they created out of that, they birthed some odd child, which are giants, you know, so many fingers on them and all that kind of stuff, called the Nephilim. Mm-hmm. And this is stuff that happened by then.
Yeah.
And a lot of people tell you what it's going to be like. You know, a man has his opinion, they have their books and everything. But let me tell you what Jesus said. He said, it'll be just like the days of Noah. It'll be just like the days of Noah. So you can go back and study Noah and what was going on and get over trying to get everybody to buy into your message and just deliver God's message. Because if you deliver his message right, you'll find out you may be able to save a few that come into the ark. I love the people who minister and love the Muslims who just take their time over 10 years to win one man or woman to the Lord. You know, and God, you know, they're patient. But Americans are like, you know, I've preached already at least 3 weeks on this and nobody's responding. And they start changing their message. If you can change God's word.
That's right.
And he says, Jesus said it's going to be the same as the days of Noah. So you can study. He said that they'll be marrying and giving in marriage and working and all these different things. You'll go to work one day and one day you'll be gone if you're a believer. If you made Jesus Christ the Lord of your life, and the other person will be left. One day, I mean, there's going to be a plane with no pilot in it, possibly, if it's a safe pilot. There's going to be a car with no driver in it. And the suddenlies are going to happen. But the family member who said, I'm going to do things my own way, they might be in the back seat. You know, it's like nothing you could do about it. Because suddenly, in the twinkling of an eye, our Lord is going to call his church to himself at the last trumpet. And you got to listen. You're going to be really... blessed by what you're hearing here. You know, as Tom Horn is being interviewed and Chris Putnam is being interviewed by It's Supernatural.
Wow. Yeah. That's Sid Roth?
Yeah, exactly. You know, and it's just, when I got a chance to see Sid in, we were in
Jacksonville.
Jacksonville. I love his enthusiasm and excitement for God. I just like, come here, I want to hug you and hold you for a minute. You know, he's like, it's supernatural, you know. It's a sign, and you made the 2-1, and all these awesome things. He gets excited about. He's excited about everything about God.
Yeah,
and it's just contagious, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
It's just really, really contagious. And so it's going to be Sid Roth interviewing Tom Horn and Chris Putnam, who just wrote a book. They had one book they wrote previously, prior to 2012. That said very specifically, and it's done not, they don't call themselves prophets. They just studied everything. They hired investigators and just got evidence.
Mm-hmm.
And that the Malachi prophecies that the Pope, Pope Benedict, would resign in March or April of 2012.
Wow.
But, and everybody out here looks like, well, or they said, or the next year, he resigned, of course, suddenly, mm-hmm. March of 2013 in April, March. And but what they found out was officially he resigned a year prior to that, exactly when they said, but they did a whole year of setting this transition up and getting the, what do they call the group that comes together to pick
conclave?
Yeah, the conclave.
The cardinals.
Which is supposed to happen at the point of somebody's death, so you don't have time to plan it. Somebody just died. They had a whole year of planning this transition.
Mm-hmm.
And the Malachi prophecy that you're going to hear is that this particular pope, the pope that we choose, you know, has to be has to be Italian, and his parents are Italian. Yeah, Pope Francis, right? Pope Francis.
He's Argentinian, so I guess his
parents are. But he
his parents are.
Yeah, so he actually is Italian.
Oh wow.
And anyway. So you're going to hear some things that's going to really, and remember the days of Noah, so you don't, your mind doesn't lock up. Go back and just kind of read over that, and look how God responded to it. And God said, "Build an ark." Well, what's an ark? An ark is Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
They carried the ark. The ark is God's presence. Know ye not that you are the temple of God? You are the ark of God. You're the one walking around with God inside. Know ye not that God's with you? The power of God's with the glory of God. The hope of glory is Christ in you. We are that ark today, and we're inviting people to invite God into their life. And we are like Noah preaching a righteous message and inviting them to the grace and the forgiveness, because if you just get in, if you just get on the boat, if you just say yes to Jesus and no to the world, then you're in. You're in, because at that point, of course, the world was destroyed by water, but the destruction that's coming after that, after this, it's going to be, you know, everything is going to be destroyed and a new heaven and a new earth is going to come. So you don't want to miss it. We're going to be talking about it, and you have an interview with Sid Roth, and the books, we'll talk about them and make them available as well. But they actually predicted it down to the T, and this prophecy was given like in 1500 or something, maybe 1200, something like that. And it's called Malachi because the prophet was Malachi. To us, it's pretty significant because 10 years, I was delivering a word called the Malachi Mandate. And that we were delivering, preparing the way of the Lord, and we were working nonstop with Malachi 4, 5, and 6, the turning of the hearts of the fathers to the sons and the sons to the fathers, or else I'll smite the earth with the curse. Well, what's happening now, it's like the convergence of that Malachi prophecy is coming with all these other things happening at the very same time. And now they're saying this particular pope that's in office now will be the one that turns the church towards the Antichrist.
Mm-hmm.
There's a billion Catholics, right? Wow. Turns them towards the Antichrist. So the first thing that he does is, and I pray this doesn't happen, my prayer is, but you know, it is what it is.
All right.
And but he said he begins to go and pray with Muslims. The very first thing is like, that's the Muslims say Jesus Christ is not the Son of God. That's anti-Jesus, right?
Right.
Or anti-Christ.
Christ.
You don't sit there and say let's you know, the first thing you do over the church, which is the followers of Jesus, is to pray with somebody who denies Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it's become this a social justice movement and this whole thing. And you're going to be really surprised what you hear. And that's why we're letting them tell you in their interview. And you're going to be able to hear that in the extra hour. In the extra hour. But there's people right now laying doctrine and everything for someone to appear that's going to bring us to a better salvation, that's going to explain things better and to more thoroughly.
Mm-hmm.
And they're preparing to receive him when he comes. And you're going to be shocked.
Wow.
And we're looking at, you know, the whole thing lasts 7 years. So you're looking at and the whole projection is 7 years, but it's cut in half, but 3.5 years. And so we're like on the edge of this thing.
Mm.
Now, we're hoping that it wouldn't necessarily be our generation because we're tired. And, you know, but you know what? You know, let history be said of us that, and understand that if you understand our history, and you can go to, you know, greglancaster.org and see some of the things that we've been walking through in God. But for 10 years, we prophesied in the spirit of Elijah, which is the preparation for the Lord's return. We've delivered that nonstop, day in and day out.
That's right.
And he says in Malachi 4, 5, and 6, that their hearts may turn or may not turn. It's an optional thing. And if they do turn, then everything's cool. If they don't turn, or else I'll smite the earth with a curse. And we've been seeing since that end of that prophecy, was it started with the earthquakes in Haiti, and then the whole world is shaking. The whole world is shaking. I stood before five elected leaders now, and prophesied to them this word. And I had, I don't know, 50, 70 people, leaders at another meeting while I was doing it. But I did it during the time when God told me to do it, and they were gathering. And four of them rejected the word, did they not?
They sure did.
They rejected the word. They openly rejected it, and one of them said, "This is good." And all four of them were removed by the governor, like in 90 days, 6 months, something like that.
That's quick.
One of them, maybe two of them, one of them went to jail. One of them ended up mysteriously dying up under a house and mysteriously drank antifreeze.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just tragic. And then, again, you know, God, during that time, God had me speak about we had hurricane after hurricane after hurricane. And you remember those days. And then I was invited again to come and speak, and I spoke. And the Lord had me to pray that there would be no hurricanes in the Gulf of Mexico at all, no storms at all. That entire, you know, that's a bit, after five hurricanes, I'm like, Lord,
give us a break.
I'm fixing to be deeply humiliated here. And so I prophesied that, you know, and asked God that, and not one storm. So that was another sign that came.
Mm-hmm.
And then God, they called me back, and God just stirred my heart. Remember the beginning of that year? It's like, you've got to prepare. It's like being on an airplane, because the you got to be able to put the oxygen mask on yourself first instead of the person that's sitting next to you so you can help them. If not, you're not going to be able to help them. And that was the beginning of that word, because a storm was coming.
Mm-hmm.
And I came and I told them about the storm. I said, this is coming, and the clerk of the court, her name is Linda, and she's a witness to this, that I delivered that word to the new commissioners, obviously. And in that, they didn't get it, and I wasn't fully getting it either, but I was delivering the word because we're thinking about hurricanes and these different things. And I said, a storm is coming, and it's coming in the fall. And this is like around April or so, in the early part of the year. But it didn't land, you know, but they were very conversational, and it's different ones than they have now. But they talked more in the natural sense, a storm or whatever. Well, then I was called back around August, and I delivered the word just intently this time and more focused. And I always wish I could deliver it better. And we're doing it now on VFN Radio.
That's right.
And this time it was like talking to a wall. It was like talking to a wall. And this really nice man who's the county administrator at that time, when I sat down in the front row, before I delivered the word, I sat down in the front row in this big governmental meeting thing. And he said, he stood up and leaned over like a high court bench. That's how they were sitting on. And he looked right at me and he said, "You didn't have a dream, did you?"
Mm-hmm.
You didn't have a dream, did you? Because God speaks to me in visions and dreams. And then I got up and shared that word. I shared that word and they didn't even receive it. And normally I'll kind of like ease my way out, you know, very politely after I pray or whatever. Mm-hmm. And this time I was just so depressed. I was just like, it's like, you know, we're going to get, the storm's going to hit us.
Wow.
And I just walked out and left. My wife, Donna, and I were there and we just walked out. And the county administrator left the meeting that was going on, who actually is the one who runs everything, by the way. And he follows me all the way out to the front of this courthouse by the water fountain and asked me, "Is everything okay? Is everything all right?" I mean, he knew that I heard from the Lord. He knew that something was wrong. And I knew they weren't going to listen. And right after that, in the fall of that year, Alan Greenspan says, "A perfect financial storm has hit America." Mm-hmm. And it's began ever since. And so what I'm telling you about, and what we're talking to you about, is you need to listen. God speaks. He does nothing unless he speaks it through a prophet first and begins to tell you and prepare you for what's going to come. If we hear and obey, then things can change and God will protect our way. Well, I was talking about in the beginning, at the end of the first hour and in the beginning, I think, of the extra hour about the Malachi prophecies, a Sid Roth interview with a very, very important author who had written a book originally. It's called Petrus Romanus, you know, but in that he actually specifically said that Pope Benedict would resign of March, April of 2012, mm-hmm. or possibly the next year. And of course he does. The 2013 is when it happens, which is huge. It hadn't happened in 400 years, by the way.
Tom Horn.
Yeah. Tom Horn. And, in the context of that, he also, they found out that 1 year prior to the 2013, when he actually did resign.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're going to play some different sessions. You're going to hear this interview over a period of time that you're just going to be encouraged because our Lord is soon to return, but you're also going to be awakened. And we want to wake up. We don't want to be on the ones on the outside of the ark scratching on it, trying to get in because we waited till the storm came. We want to be walking with God and hearing what he says today. So I'm going to go ahead and we're going to hear this interview, Sid Roth.
Shalom, Mishpacha. Shalom, family. Mishpacha is a Hebrew word, means family. And we're the Mishpacha, the family with the Jewish heart, made up of Jewish and non-Jewish people, where the middle wall of separation between Jew and Gentile, it's finally come down to form one new man. Getting ready, Mishpacha, to blow the grandest shofar, the grandest trumpet in Zion. We want everyone everywhere to hear the good news. We want everyone everywhere to be red hot for the Messiah. I don't know if you've read that bestseller, Petrus Romanus, The Final Pope is Here, but I have one of the authors of the book, Chris Putnam, on the telephone. If you haven't heard about the Malachi prophecy, just briefly, Chris, I want you to explain it, but for those that aren't familiar with you, you are a theologian, and in particular, in grad school, you studied the history of Catholic and Protestant reformers, and this has all been amazing foundation for you, because yes, you're taking prophecies, but you also have it such a strong foundation in the Word that it gives the perspective that everyone needs. Tell us a bit about the Malachi prophecy.
Well, I said it's great to be on the show with you. What we have in this Saint Malachi prophecy of the popes is an allegedly a 900-year-old prophecy by an Irish saint. The way that the account goes, St. Malachi had made a pilgrimage to Rome to have an audience with the Pope. Now, on Genicum Hill, one of the hills outside of Rome, he had a vision from his day, 112 popes into the future, with the final pope reigning during the tribulation. So the way this vision came across, the way he recorded it, is a series of Latin phrases or mottos, which seem to predict something about each pope, perhaps a description of his coat of arms or something about his name or perhaps events that happened during his papacy. So we have this sequence of 112 mottos. Now, the thing that makes this all very intriguing is that Pope Benedict was 111 out of 112, meaning that this very next pope, the prediction for him seems to really strongly infer the end times. It says, in the extreme persecution of the Holy Roman Church, there will sit Peter the Roman, who will nourish the sheep in many tribulations. When they're finished, the city of Seven Hills will be destroyed, and the dreadful judge will judge his people. The end. So that is what this 900-year-old prophecy predicts to happen during the reign of the next pope.
Now, how did you know, because he didn't say this, or did he, St. Malachi, how did you know that the pope would resign so there'd be room for this last pope?
Well, Sid, you know, one of the things I learned, you know, in seminary is that, you know, when you're digging into a subject like this, you know, you go out and you read everything that you can find about it. And, you know, I'm a Protestant. I'm not necessarily predisposed to believing extra-biblical Catholic prophecies, but, you know, I wanted to give this thing a fair shake. And one of the books that I read about it and had to translate from French was by a Belgian Jesuit named René Thibault. Now, actually, he published this book in 1951, and he did all sorts of mystical calculations from the Latin text of this prophecy, and he came up with April 2012 as the date of the arrival of the final pope. Now, he didn't just do that in a trivial way. He actually did it from five or six different calculations. One of the simplest ones was that he calculated the average reign where a pope would be in office for 11 years. That's what he determined was the average. And then he just kind of extrapolated that forward from when he was writing in 1950, and he came up with the year 2012. Now, of course, that was very sensational with all the apocalyptic speculation about the year 2012. And, you know, we put it in our book, and there was also some rumors circulating around about Benedict's health. So we kind of went out on a limb based on his writing and these rumors, and you know, we put on pages 57 and 58 of our book that we thought he would step down for health reasons. Well, you know, 2012 came and went, and we were a little disappointed and, you know, figured, well, I guess that just wasn't going to happen the way Father Thibault said. But as it turns out, when I was reading the New York Times on February 11th this year about Benedict's stepping down, it actually says that the decision was made in the end of March after his trip to South America and, quote, kept with a reserve that no one could violate, end quote. So quite literally, he made the decision to step down right when this was predicted, and they've kept it a secret all year.
Okay. From looking at your book, you're very honest, and you've done good journalism in that a few of the prophecies of the popes might have been tampered with, but just a few. However, the majority, and in of recent years, of course, it was from the original prophecy. How accurate was it, in your opinion, as a biblical scholar?
Well, you know, one of the things that I looked at, you know, is that this thing was published in widely, you know, spread across the continent of Europe by 1595 in a book called Ligam Vitae. So no matter what people might say about it being a forgery or written after the fact, you really can't argue about the prophecies after 1595 because no one disputes that it was in print at that time. Now, you know, when you're testing something like this, the way you test a hypothesis in science is you try to falsify it. You look for a risky prediction. And one of the ones that really jumped out at me was Religio Depopulata. Now, in the sequence of the Malachi prophecy, that was the prophecy that matched Pope Benedict the 15th. Now, he was Pope from 1914 to 1922. And that prophecy actually in English would be religion depopulated. Now, that's a very risky prediction. All things being equal, you would expect the church to kind of remain the same. But what happened from 1914 to 1922? This was a time of World War I. Okay, this was devastating to Europe, devastating to the Catholic Church. To add insult to injury, this was the time of the Bolshevik Revolution in Russia, where they think that up to 200 million people left the church to join the Communist Party. And the ones that didn't, Lenin specifically targeted religious leaders. So right when this prophecy that we can prove was published hundreds of years before said that religion was depopulated, we see probably the greatest depopulation of religion in history.
What, tell me your sanctified speculation of what the last pope's reign will be like.
Well, based on the text of this prophecy, we see it's talking about the city of Seven Hills being destroyed. It's talking about judgment. Now, the city of Seven Hills is a really transparent reference to the city of Rome. And, this is what captured my imagination, because like I said, I'm not necessarily predisposed to these sort of Catholic prophecies, but when I look at the book of Revelation, and it talks about the great harlot and mystery of Babylon, I mean, it really strongly connects that to the city of Rome. And Revelation 17:9 is talking about the seven-headed beast, and it has two aspects to the heads. In the first aspect, it says the heads are seven mountains on which the woman sitteth. Now, at the end of Revelation 17, it says that that woman that you saw is that great city that has dominion over the kings of the earth. Now, interpreting, the Bible, a good general rule is you always start with the author's intention. Now, when John was writing the book of Revelation around A.D. 90, it was at the peak of the Roman Empire. So a city that has dominion over the kings of the earth, in the Apostle John's mind, I think would be inarguably Rome.
Absolutely. But what is your sanctified speculation that will happen when this pope rules?
Well, because I see this connection to biblical prophecy, I think that it's a very good possibility, and this is what we argue, is that this final pope is the biblical false prophet. In Revelation chapter 13, the Antichrist usually gets most of the press, but around verse 11 or so, it describes the second beast, and it says he has horns like a lamb, yet speaks like a dragon. Now, I think everyone will agree that like a lamb is a inference to Jesus, as the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Now, generally, horns in apocalyptic literature are a sign of power. So I think that this description of the false prophet is saying that he's going to be seen as a powerful Christian leader, yet he's going to be speaking like a dragon and leading the world to worship the Antichrist. So for those reasons, I think worldwide, people, when they think of a powerful Christian leader, invariably would probably answer the pope. So that's I see him in that role.
Okay. Your brand-new book, literally off the press, not available in bookstores yet, is called Exo Vaticana. What does that mean?
Well, this prefix exo, generally implies something otherworldly. And we have, exoplanets, where they're looking at planets outside of our solar system. There's actually a area of theology now called exotheology that handles how would theologians handle an extraterrestrial reality. And the Catholics have really laid a lot of groundwork in that realm of thought. And this is what our book is about. We think that a very likely component of the end time scenario will involve a claimed extraterrestrial presence.
Okay. You will not understand end times without these two books that document secret files in the Vatican Library and belief in aliens. Petrus Romanus, the last pope, hidden in the Vatican Libraries over 900 years ago, a vision of the next 112 popes, stunning accuracy of the first 111. Now, this last pope will take office for the final judgment. The second book, Exo Vaticana, documents the Vatican's plan for arrival of an alien god with a small g, secret files in the Vatican Library on the reality of alien presence, Vatican's position on extraterrestrials, Vatican's Project Lucifer, why 2013 is the year top astronomers say the aliens will be revealed, the breeding and hybridization program for humans and aliens. Both books available for a donation of $35. The second book is only available through our ministry. I'm interrupting this telecast with a special announcement. We have a new pope, St. Francis. According to the Malachi prophecy, he had to be a Roman. Did you know that this new pope's parents were from Italy? Roman? Not only that, he's the first Jesuit to ever be pope. And as you've just heard, the Jesuits are involved with the aliens. To hear this week's interview or watch archives of our television show, It's Supernatural, visit our website at www.sidroth.org.
You're listening to an interview with Sid Roth. He's interviewing. This is the first of 10 interviews that is amazing. He's laying the groundwork for what he's going to be talking about, the Malachi prophecies, which is 900 years ago, over 900 years ago. And with technology, with things he talks about with entertainment, I mean, it's amazing how accurate this was over 900 years ago.
900 years.
900 years ago. And eventually we're going to have all this together for you. And it is available now. You can go to the VFN Torch or go to SidRoth.com or go to VFN Torch, go to VFNTV.com, and you can see it on the Torch. It's available for you under the post, the final pope is here.
Yeah.
And at the very bottom, you just scroll down there and you can just click on the book that you want to choose, one of the three books that we'll be talking about in this interview. But understand what you just heard, possibly if you were listening to the first hour, this nation will not pass before the end comes. All these things have to come to pass. We're looking at a crescendo of so many words happening. And this really fits in what they're saying. We're not saying it. What they're saying and what has been verified by others. And they're not saying they're prophets. They're saying that we just investigated, we asked, and we interviewed the leadership of the Catholic Church, and they verified this to be true, that to be true. And, of course, parts of the Catholic Church, you know, said they totally renounced this craziness. Mm-hmm. But the thing is that do you excommunicate the craziness? Do you get it out of there and say you're not part of this? But it's amazing. Exactly. It is amazing times right now as things are being fulfilled. It's amazing what is happening here. And this is one of nine parts of different interviews that we're going to bring to you and begin to show you this particular 900 years ago, this Malachi prophecy was given 900 years ago. And we're going to make, not only are these available, these books available at Sid Roth ministry, as he just said, but also they're available. You can go to the Torch, go to VFNTV.com and click on the Torch. And both books, Petros Romanus and Exo Vaticana, is going to be available for you that they wrote. And these are not, they don't call themselves prophets. We hired investigators. We went and talked to them. And this is what they said, including, and I'll talk to you when we get back, about the Jesuits, which I was with when I was in Sacramento, and have a little insight on that. They're talking about the Malachi prophecies. The Malachi prophecies and what is taking place. And it is amazing. The other book is Exo Vaticano, which talks about, you know, the same as the days of Noah, and it's being proven of things that the Jesuits are actually saying openly, writing documents and emails back and forth. There's this evidentiary, everything's documented of what they're doing. And obviously there's some Catholics that are like totally renouncing all this, which is, you know, obviously God has a remnant of his people everywhere. They're saying these guys are crazy. But the thing is, they're the ones writing the rules for the Vatican. They're the ones doing, you know, that type of thing. And we're familiar with being around people who say they walk with you, but they're trying to kill you at the same time. So we're not saying that this is every Catholic, but we're definitely letting you hear the interview themselves of what they discovered, that there are people that have crept in. Even Paul said, be careful, you know, because wolves will come in amongst you, even from your own number. And he said, I warned you day and night, and what we're finding out about. And so there's nothing new in regards to this because, I mean, since day one, men, God's put worship inside of us. He's put worship inside of us, and so we're going to worship something or someone. It's just going to happen. And it's not unusual for people to, if you read just even the Old Testament and understand, people would just carve gods. They would just make, they'd make up a god.
Mm-hmm.
And this is the god of this, and this is the god of that. And they would worship it. They would lay things down at it. Well, it's no different today. People are making new gods. They're creating new concepts, and they're not gods, but that's who they worship. And so when you talk about the God who is unchanging, the same yesterday, today, and forever, and you talk about his exactness, and they jump on you, and they come against you because they're thinking that you should have created a different God than that, because they think as they morphed their God, that God morphed with them, and he didn't. Mm. He's the same yesterday and today and forever. They just left God or never knew him in the first place. Mm-hmm. And so it's not unusual for people just to begin to just create their own concept of God, which that's what they're doing, Dave. You notice there's bumper stickers that has every form of religion on the same sticker. Mm-hmm. And the whole thing of Rodney King, why can't we just all get along here? And the thing is, the Antichrist and Christ will never get along.
Right.
They'll never get along. Anti-Jesus. In other words, this is, when you hear Antichrist, so many people have pictured something with horns on its head. But think about this, that anti you, you know, you're not going to hang out with somebody who's anti you. I mean, you're, you know, they're against you.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
So it's not this old freaky thing you're thinking about. It's anti Jesus, somebody that's anti against the Son of God. And there's no way to God except through his Son, Jesus Christ. So if you deny Jesus, you're anti Jesus. Whatever God you're worshiping is not the true God.
That's right.
That makes sense. That's right. And so it's not unusual that people that would make this. So we got that was the first in 10 interview segments that we're going to have of Sid Roth's interview. And it's going to just really, you can find out more about this on the VFN Torch by going to VFNTV.com and clicking on the torch.
You've just been listening to the highlights from the daily VFN radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light. Don't forget to share it with your friends. Find out more and listen to the daily VFN radio program in its entirety at VFNTV.com or with your mobile VFN TV app on your mobile phone or device. That's VFNTV.com.